mouth that you confess and have and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord of all and richly blesses who calls on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The reading of the word.
We have volunteer choir this morning. And we're singing one of my old favorites, There's Power in the Blood. So any of you who would like to come up, this is volunteer choir. It means you don't have to attend here. If you're here this morning, you love to sing, you're going to sing with no practice, There's Power in the Blood. Come on up. ...191 in the hymnal, if you want to turn there. You've been spoiled, Jim. Hey, turn my mic off, by the way. We aren't going to...
Thank you.
Thank you all. You know, we shouldn't be that surprised at how little we know. You probably thought I was going to say we should be surprised at how much we know, huh? But you know, I think we have to be surprised at how little we know. Think about it. Some of us have certain areas maybe of expertise and not another. Think about looking at these newer cars and you open up the hood. Fixing an electronic problem in a car for most of us would be a lot more than what we know. Or putting together that furniture that you get in the boxes without looking at the instructions. You know, some of us guys like to do it without instructions, but usually you're left with five or six pieces of something left and you're not sure where they go. And inevitably, whatever it is we put together seems to fall apart. We wonder why. Or if I was to write a book on the Trinity and explain it completely and sufficiently to all of you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's a tough task to explain it in a way that would satisfy everyone. But yet, we do serve the triune Godhead. Or, if I could nail down for you the end times and exactly what's going to happen, in what order, and when it's going to happen. Sometimes I look at this and I say I'm surprised at how little we know. In fact, in the world that you and I live in today, outside of perhaps many who are here this morning and know quite about our faith in Christ because of this wonderful book, the greatest book that has ever been written, and we've learned through the years what God has to say to us, when we look in the world around us, it's amazing how little is known about the Christian faith. A little while ago, a few years ago, very recently, within the last few years, there was a survey that was done, a rather extensive survey. I think it was Barna, but I'm not sure, that did the survey about people and what they call themselves in relationship to the Christian faith or not. And it said that almost a quarter of the population here in America call themselves nuns. I don't mean N-U-N, like Sister Chris over at St. Anthony's. I mean nuns is a word that is used, N-O-N-E-S, which means I don't have faith in anything. About a quarter of our population. 35% of millennials would call themselves nuns. The younger the people, the higher the percentage of those would call themselves nuns. It's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it? I mean, I lived in a world when I was a little kid where I still think at that point in time in our little community in Pickford, I went to school in Rudyard, but attended church in Pickford where I found my wife from there. Grass is always greener at the other school. Went to church in Pickford, and I think a good chunk of people in that town went to church. And in today's world, that percentage has greatly decreased. How little is known about our Christian faith. But even for Christians, even for us as believers, the Bible does leave us a little bit searching, which I think is a good thing, because it's always good to search. In Ephesians 3:8, it talks about preaching the unsearchable riches of God. It's like I can't quite explain it all to you in sufficient human terms because it's so awesome and so big and so wide and so deep. I can't really quite explain it all. I can explain some of it, perhaps, but not all of it. Romans 11:33 says that His judgments are unsearchable. His paths are beyond tracing out. And it says, who knows the mind of the Lord? See, we're left with a little bit of a need to know more. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Remember last week we were talking about evangelism and the difference between knowing about God and knowing God? Well, that's kind of where I'm going this morning, is more about the knowing God and realizing we still have a ways to go, don't we? You know, the New Age movement, if we still call it that, has combined religions into a hodgepodge of beliefs. You can pretty much just welcome any kind of a belief, throw it in, and call it a part of that religion. Almost anything goes. Yet, that's not what scriptures say. The Bible has been relegated to an interesting book that's not fully inspired by God. In fact, there are some even in the church today that see the Bible as a book amongst many. Folks, if you ever hear a pastor say that, stay away. It is the book. It is the Holy Word of God. People have defined morality and left the Bible out of that discussion. Culture rules in whatever we determine. And so we're left not knowing as much as we should. How many times as a pastor over the years I've been hit with this statement? Many, many times. We all believe in God. Or I believe in God. That statement opens up a whole can of worms, doesn't it? Just the statement, I believe in God, what do you believe? What do you believe? I believe in God. There's more to it than just, I believe in God. The devil believes, and the demons believe, and they shudder. Who is God? And who am I in relationship to God? And what kind of a relationship do I have with God? And how do I get that relationship with God? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is Jesus in that statement? When he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, in the Word of God and in the Bible, it's pretty clear. I'm not the judge, folks. And I'm not going to sit here and judge anyone else. But what I am going to say is this. As a believer in God's Word, and a believer in what Jesus Christ has done, I stand up here this morning and say to you that I believe John 14:6 is correct. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where is the cross? And where is the resurrection? In so many places in the world today, even in the church, the cross isn't talked about. The cross was necessary. I told many of you that I had a seminary experience. Not in the seminary I attended, but in another seminary when I went as a student to take a class. And in that class, a theology class, the scriptures were never referred to. In that class, during a break, a young lady came up to me and says, why do we need that bloody mess? Referring to Jesus. And I said, without that bloody mess, I have no salvation. You see, folks, we need to know. And we need to share with others so that they know what the Bible says about these things. The cross is at the center. The resurrection is the hope that we have, because in the resurrection, Jesus himself overcame sin and death, and we too overcome sin and death through Christ's resurrection, because it was on the cross where my sin was paid for. A just God demanded payment, and Jesus said, I'll take care of Dave's. He said he'd take care of yours too. Praise be to God. There is a need for a Savior. There is a need for a Lord. For all those who call themselves nuns, I pray for them that at some point in their life, when crisis comes their way, they realize there's hope. I don't know how people go through life without knowing Jesus. I don't know how you do it. But I know how I get through life because I have Jesus. And no matter what life throws our way, I have Jesus. There are many out there in the world today that have not heard the truth. But as this text shared with us this morning, how can they know the truth if no one's going to preach it to them? How do they know the truth if no one's going to share it with them? And I encourage us in a loving, caring kind of way to share with others when we see them in crisis and we see them in need, to let them know, here is one who got me through it all, and he can take you through it all as well. It's Jesus. It's the one spoken of in the Bible. The text that we read also said, how can they believe if they've never heard? Who are the sent ones in this text as I get to a closing real soon here? It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know who that is? That's you and me. That's you and me. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But what that's saying is, I've got to go with my feet and share it with others. Because it's the greatest news they're ever going to hear. Let's take our responsibility and our privilege as Christians seriously. You know, it's said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says that the mystery of Christ has been revealed to us. It was hidden from those of old. They knew something was coming, but it was revealed to the disciples and to us, the mystery of Christ. He was the answer to everything that ailed them. He is the answer to everything that ails us. It's Jesus. So, are we going to let others know about that, or are we just going to keep it to ourselves? I pray that we're going to share it with others. Because if they don't hear it, how are they going to know it? And if they don't know it, how can they receive it? And if they don't receive it, I don't know how they're going to get through life without that which we know. And it wasn't earned. It was given. It was promised. It was sealed, signed, and delivered on the cross and in His resurrection. Let's pray. God, sometimes I know in my own life I'm too busy to share. I miss opportunities. I'm not always doing what You call me to do. Open my heart and open our hearts and our minds and our feet and our hands and our eyes and our ears to be available when You ask us to share that which is the most important thing in our life, the good news of Jesus Christ. We live in a world right now where people are looking. There is anxiety and fear. There is the unknown. There is a bit of a pessimism with what's going on in the world today, rightfully so. But we in Christ have hope. And even though we have much more to learn, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but we know who holds that tomorrow. Just like we know the one who holds today, help us as we move into the future to realize and to let others know You've got it. And we can trust You with it. And we want others to know that too. So we give You thanks and we give You praise in the precious name of the one who we know and continue to want to know more, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close with hymn number 76. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Would you stand as you're able as we sing on the screen also in your hymnal?